Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into a special edition of Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth here alongside Robbie Stanley of Robbie and Rex Road. Weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, as well as thegamenashville.com. Robbie, how we doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Not as fantastic as the Nashville Predators, as the Nashville Predators have won five games in a row after a four-game sweep in the road, or on the road, I should say, in Detroit, and then just completely dismantled the Big Apple, where they beat the Islanders, they beat the Devils, and then they beat the New York Rangers last night with a 1-0 victory. UC Saros standing on his head, especially at times there in the third period. The Preds, winners of five in a row, and this is just what the doctor ordered for this Nashville Predators team. We're going to get to that here in just a few minutes. News coming out earlier today that the Predators game tomorrow night against the Calgary Flames has been postponed, as the Calgary Flames have had a COVID outbreak within their locker room. Six players and a training staff member were put into COVID protocol today. So the Flames' next three games, including tomorrow night here in Nashville, have been postponed, and that game will be made up at a later date. So, news item earlier today. Another news item earlier today that we will announce here for anyone who didn't see it on social media. This is my last Preds Insiders.
It is.
This is my last Preds Insiders, as my last day with 102.5 The Game is December 22nd. That's because I have accepted a position with Odyssey in Chicago to be the assistant brand manager of 670 The Score up in Chicago. I am so excited about this new opportunity for me and my wife, who is from Chicago. We're going to be making the move sometime next year, but I start with Odyssey on January 3rd, so that's going to be here before we know it. So this is my last Preds Insiders. This is it, and you are here, sir, for me to pass the baton to you.
That's right.
Starting next week, Preds Insiders will be with Robbie Stanley and not with Ryan Porth.
Yeah, it's a sad day. We've done many Preds Insiders together. This is the last one.
I know.
The grand poobah of Preds Insiders is today. And look, obviously we'll have a lot of time to talk about this, but really excited for you and your family and this new opportunity. Really excited to take this last one here today out in style of Preds Insiders. We've been doing this together for a long time. Been doing a lot of shows together for a long time.
Yes, we have.
I'm excited about this one.
It dates back pre-Preds Insiders.
Yes, it does.
When we did, what was the podcast called for the website that we were both a part of?
No,
Smashville on the Glass, maybe? Yep. I don't know. We used to have the website Smashville247.net, which is now defunct.
Yes.
But that was a long time ago.
It was.
And we didn't abide by FCC regulations back then because we didn't need to.
That is correct.
But obviously have enjoyed thoroughly you coming on Preds Insiders here over the years. Not only you, but Adam Vingan, Justin Bradford, Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chris Mason, Hal Gill. The list goes on and on and on and on of the different contributors that we've had here on Preds Insiders. Jeremy Gover, yep, one of the originals. And really going to miss doing this show. Really going to miss everyone here in Nashville. Going to miss going to Preds games, you know, as often as I have over, really, you know, ever since my family moved here.
Yeah.
19 years ago.
Yeah.
And one of the first things we ever did was go to a Nashville Predators game. They played the Dallas Stars at what was known as a Gaylord Entertainment Center at the time. And I must admit that I was wearing, for whatever reason, a Dirk Nowitzki Dallas Mavericks jersey to my first ever Nashville Predators game because I was a Dirk Nowitzki fan back in the day.
Makes sense, yeah.
And I didn't put two and two together that the Predators were playing the Stars that night. So there I am wearing a Dallas basketball jersey, rooting on the Predators in my new hometown. And now I won't be able to attend games in Smashville as much anymore, and I'm sad about that.
You are. I will say, before you move to Chicago, the next Preds game you go to, if you don't show up with a Dirk Nowitzki jersey this time around, I feel like that's a big missed opportunity for you on that front.
Look, if I wear a Dirk Nowitzki jersey to, let's say, well, I won't be there Thursday. It would probably be next Tuesday night against Winnipeg. If I were to wear a Dirk Nowitzki jersey then, I think everybody in the crowd would know who listened to this. Oh, there's Porth.
There's Porth. He's firing it up there. He's fadeaway jumper.
See, I tried to be like Dirk Nowitzki when I played basketball recreationally growing up. I tried to be that tall guy that liked to shoot threes because I was not man enough to use my big butt and elbows to move everybody out of the paint. So I tried to begin a basketball career at the age of 9 or 10 by just launching threes in the YMCA, and that obviously didn't go.
And here you are inside the sports studio. didn't work out overly well for you in the basketball career.
It did not. It did not. And you've seen me try to be athletic. I am not athletic. So
you're no Chase McCabe, though. There is that.
I mean, that's a really low bar. That's a really low bar that he can't jump over.
Oh, that is true. Oh, God bless him. Oh, that's great. I was not aware that you showed up to your first Preds game in a Dirk Nowitzki jersey. That is maybe the greatest thing I've ever heard
against,
in my life.
Against the Dallas Stars. Dallas, I did not know they were playing the Dallas Stars that night. And there I am in a Dirk Nowitzki jersey. But, you know, quickly thereafter, I got some Preds merchandise. My dad and I had half-season tickets for a number of years, and then the Nashville Predators opened up the press box to some online media, and we were both the beneficiaries of that, two of many beneficiaries of that. And, you know, I also want to tip my cap to Jerry Helper, who announced his retirement. Jerry Helper used to be the director of media relations for the Preds and has been a senior advisor to the club here in the last 4 or 5 years, and he's retiring at the end of the month. So want to tip my cap to him, because without him opening the press box, who knows where the two of us are.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I mean, it was one of those things that was so much different. It feels like not that long ago, but 2010, 2011, it's a different time for this franchise, and now they're on such a stable ground with their ownership. They're on such a stable ground with their fan base. The city's changed, obviously, so there's a lot of things that have happened over the course of, you know, the last 10, 15 years that have really put the Predators on the map. Not only put them on the map, but really kept them there and built on it. But a big part of that was, I think, the Predators' decision to do that and get more coverage back in those days. So, yeah, absolute shout-out to Jerry Helper. And it's been cool to see how much everything has taken off since then.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, the other part of the news earlier today, with me leaving for 670 The Score in Chicago, and again, if you're just tuning in, this is my last Preds Insiders, believe it or not, after doing this show for, well, it was like September of 2017, I believe, when we launched this show. So doing this show for 4 years. Chase McCabe, our good friend who's been the assistant program director, is now going to be the head honcho here of 102.5 The Game. He's going to be program director once I exit stage left. So our good friend Chase also having some great bit of news here announced earlier today.
Yeah, pretty awesome to see that too. And look, we all know how hardworking of a guy Chase is. He literally grew up in this building pretty much professionally with what he's been able to do. Started off as an intern, has worked his way on to air, and now as program director. So the two of you have that in common in terms of working your way up, and pretty cool to see both of you get really big shots here. I'm very, as a friend, very happy for both of you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, Chase, there's no one who works harder than him. Yes. I'll say that. He is someone who wears his heart on his sleeve for the radio station and has ever since he started as an intern back in the early days of 102.5 The Game. So Chase has literally been here just about since the start of its existence. So really cool news earlier today that Chase being promoted to program director here at 102.5 The Game, And I am going to be this station's biggest fan from afar. Just, you know, hope you and Joe and Chase, Darren, and Willie in middays, and Jared and Caroline in the afternoons, and, you know, all the great staff members here just continue to kick butt and take names.
Yep.
So
no, we're looking forward to that. Now, I think I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you this question.
What's that?
You're going to, like, go buy a Blackhawks sweater now? Like,
no.
Is that what
no.
Predators fans listening to this are going to worry?
Going to do that.
All right. I'm just throwing it out there.
As I've told some family members or some close friends here in the last week of this news, one of the first questions asked of me has been, so does this mean you're going to become a Blackhawks fan? And I quickly say no. I am not.
It's not a great time to be a Blackhawks fan, by the way.
It is not. Even Blackhawks fans don't really like the Blackhawks right now.
Yeah.
Because of all the off-ice troubles they've been through. But you know what? There might be a bandwagon there that I might be jumping on. Another team in red and black. Not really? The Blackhawks, but playing the same arena. I don't have an NBA team. I just don't. And 670 The Score is the home of the Chicago Bulls.
There you go. Get you a, so, you could be hanging out with LeVar Ball as Lonzo's dribbling up and down the court. It'd be Ryan Porth in a Dirk Nowitzki jersey next to LeVar Ball.
Yes.
What a world.
Absolutely. Right there in the United Center.
I can see it right now. It's a great image.
So, anyway, that's the big news. So, I appreciate everyone who has been a contributor on this show. I appreciate everyone who has listened to the show and has reached out during this show on Twitter, on social media, either with something nice to say, something, you know, not so nice to say, or just feedback. You know, I've really appreciated all the engagement over the years with this show. And I know damn sure that you are the right person to continue on with Preds Insiders here. So looking forward to seeing this show grow even further with you at the wheel.
Well, I'm looking forward to it as well. You've done a great job. So this is something that's really, with what you've built here, it's not that hard for me to take over. You've already done the legwork. The Preds, everybody loves the Preds in this town. It's a really good place to be, really good place to have a hockey market, and your show has been awesome to listen to, awesome to be a part of, and looking forward to keeping that going.
Thanks, Rob. Well, speaking of keeping it going, the Preds kept it going last night in New York with a 1-0 shutout victory to sweep the road trip. We'll get to that and the bit of news earlier today about tomorrow night's Preds-Flames game being postponed. The Preds will next play Thursday night at home against the Colorado Avalanche. We'll get to all of that on the other side. He's Robbie Stanley. I'm Ryan Porth. And you're listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in. It's Preds Insiders. Preds Insiders brought to you every week by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. Ryan Porth, my last Preds Insiders, as I pass the baton to Robbie Stanley, who's joining me here in studio this evening. Robbie Stanley of Robbie and Rex Road, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m., on ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you missed it earlier, the Preds and Flames postponed tomorrow night for COVID, a COVID outbreak within the Flames locker room. So those two teams will play at a later date, not tomorrow night. The Preds next play Thursday night against the Colorado Avalanche. And then they play Friday night in Chicago. And I'm going to be in Chicago on Friday meeting my new teammates with 670 The Score. And I am going to be at that Preds Blackhawks game on Friday night.
Wow, just getting right in there. The Preds and the Hawks coming up.
Which, yes, sir.
You know, in a way, you know, obviously you never want to see a game get postponed like we've seen now. But I think, honestly, from a scheduling standpoint, this may work out okay for the Predators because you're coming off a 4-game road trip. You've been playing basically every other day. You've had 3 games the last 4 days. I mean, it's, your body's hurting right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're running through. Matt Duchene's got an injury. Johansson's on the COVID list. We'll get to more of that coming up here in just a few minutes. But I think this could be a good thing to get back home, reset a little bit. You got a tough one coming up on Thursday against Colorado, and then a back-to-back kind of a situation this week as well on Friday. So this may be a good opportunity, a little bit of a blessing in disguise. Obviously, you don't want anybody dealing with COVID-19, and I understand that. But from a scheduling standpoint, I think this could actually work out pretty well for the Predators. Well, knowing that at some point you're going to have to make that up down the stretch.
It's a mini break after you just played four games in four different, well, not four different cities, but four games in six nights on the road.
Yeah.
Now you get a few days off before you have another compact part of the schedule before the holiday break. So Thursday and Thursday at home against Colorado, Friday in Chicago, Sunday in Carolina, and then next Tuesday and Thursday before the Christmas holiday. So I agree with you. And look, this Predators team continues to impress. You know, they went through a little bit of a lull there in the last half of November where they would win one, they would lose one, and they continued that all the way up until they lost that game 2-0 at home to Boston. And ever since then, they've rattled off five in a row. And they have, no matter who's been in the lineup, you mentioned how Duchesne and Johansson were both out of the lineup. Duchesne was out of the lineup Friday night. Did he miss Thursday as well?
Yeah.
Against the Islanders?
No, he's in there Thursday.
Right. Yep. That's what I thought. Yep. So he's missed the last two games. Johansson missed last night, and they keep winning games. And that, to me, Robbie, is one of the most impressive things about this team is, you know, they've had Forsberg miss some time earlier this season. They've had Duchesne out the last couple of nights. Johansson misses yesterday, and they keep winning games. And they're on a five-game winning streak going into this little three-day break. And UC Saros last night was phenomenal, where the Preds are shorthanded offensively. Philip Tomasino scores the lone goal, a nice shot that he had there in the second period. But UC Saros, I mean, it is obvious that he is up to the task of being the number one goaltender for this club. He's had a couple clunkers this season, but outside of those couple of games, he has been outstanding.
He was unreal last night. I mean, the first period, I thought the Predators played pretty well. You're out shooting New York. I think they both got a power play chance in the first period. But you're feeling pretty good about your game. And then New York, I think, kind of took it to a different level as the game went on. And Saros was awesome. I mean, you're talking about some high-danger, point-blank saves right in front of you, having going post-to-post. I mean, we talked about it this morning on the show, like, His speed going laterally from post to post is just unbelievable. And it's got to be. I get that based on the size that he has that he brings to the table. But it never gets old watching him compete on pucks. He's very much like Pecorine in that way in terms of there's not a puck out there where he just gives up on. I mean, he is doing everything he can do to make a save. Now, they're very different in their styles, obviously. But we've been used to some good goaltending around here for a long time. And I think we've seen enough at this point. That's not going to change anytime soon. UC Saros is a really good goaltender. He was awesome last night. He's been awesome for the most part this season. And here they are. I mean, this Predators team, they're tough as nails, man. They really are. I mean, there's really no business for them to be in that game last night. New York had won 8 of 9 coming in there. They've been a really good team so far. You don't have Duchesne. You don't have Johansson. You're a team that, in my opinion, still is offensively limited anyway, even with those two guys 5-on-5. And yet you find a way to scratch and claw out a win. Look, there's still a lot of season left, and I don't know that what we've seen so far is exactly what this Predators team is, but I'm starting to believe more and more by each day that goes around that this is more of what they are because of just those intangible things that they bring to the table. They don't get shaken by anything. When things go bad for them in a game, they can dig themselves out of it. They're mentally strong. They're mentally tough. And that's a complete, I don't want to say 180, but it's pretty close to a 180 from where they were when John Hines first took over. And
oh, it's a 180.
It's, yeah. I mean,
it absolutely is. Because think of, I mean, the Winter Classic was the epitome of what that Predators team had become in the final weeks or months under Peter Laviolette, where they're up 2-0. One thing goes wrong against the Stars in that Winter Classic game, and then they lose that game 4-2. And it was like a downhill avalanche that they couldn't stop.
Yep.
And to your point, this team is very mentally tough. You know exactly what to expect from this Predators team night in and night out. And between those two things, I think it is a complete 180. And that is full credit to John Hines, because how many times did we hear John Hines early on as a head coach have to answer questions about the mental aspect of not only his team, but certain individuals. And now this team, they're 17-10-1. They're right in the middle of the playoff picture, and he's a big reason why, because he's got this team playing the same way every single night.
Well, everybody looks bought in, and I think we started to see that last year. Obviously, in the second half of the season, with the run they went on, the way they played, we started to see the buy-in from everyone. Now, I think the young players actually kind of led the way with that, and then everybody else has followed. I still don't know that by the time the playoffs came around last year that everybody was bought in. Everybody's bought in now, and you can tell. Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, I know those two guys are out right now, but they've been excellent so far this year. And when you have your best players playing that way and they're buying into the way that your coach wants to play, that's a really good spot to be in as a team. And look, it sounds like a very simple thing to do. It's not. There's so many factors that go into that in professional sports. And look, I mean, this Predators team, I think you would probably agree with this. The Predators team, when Matt Duchene first got here, I think was way more talented than this team.
Oh, yeah.
It just, they had zero intensity to them. They had zero intangibles to them. And we've seen now, even with this team that I still believe is less talented, they're awfully fun to watch, and they're awfully tenacious when they're out there. And that speaks very well of John Hines and the job he's done.
Well, it reminds you, I know it reminds me, of some of those Barry Trotz teams that did not have all the talent.
Yep.
But you knew exactly what to expect night in and night out, and they always found themselves in the playoff mix most times, especially once they got over that hurdle in 2004. Most times they were in the playoffs, and you could stack up their roster against other rosters in the postseason, and they wouldn't even come close, but they would always be competitive and always give it their all every single night. This team right now reminds me of some of those teams back in, I would say, 08, 09,
yep,
2010, 2011. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. Those are exactly the teams I was thinking of. I mean, the 03, 04 team I'd put in there too, because they were just so scrappy to get there. But yeah, like the 08, 09, 10, 11 stretch, you go back and look at some of those teams. I mean, your first line center until Mike Fisher got there was David Legwand. And David Legwand was a good player for a long time, but David Legwand, not a number one center in the NHL. I mean, they just, from a roster standpoint, did not stack up, to your point, with the Chicagos of the day. Obviously, the Red Wings were the big team back in the day as well. You know, I think this team has its moments and certainly has players that are better positioned to be, you know, be able to take over a game than those teams did when you're talking about your Forsbergs and your Duchenes and Johansons of the world. But the way they play the game, I think you hit on it. You know what you're going to get on a nightly basis. And there's something to be said about that. I mean, when you know what you're going to bring to the table, you know the type of game you need to play to be successful, you don't have to do a whole lot of coaching if you're John Hines. It's, all right, let's get my line matchups out there. Let's see if we can take advantage of some opportunities from a matchup standpoint. But when everybody's playing the same way, that's a pretty good spot to be in as a team. And that's where this Predators team is right now. I think that can carry them a long way.
Well, think of one of many examples of what we're talking about is Jakob Trenin.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude goes toe-to-toe with Chara again for the second time in his young career on Thursday night. And the dude then scores a goal after that. He scores Friday night in New Jersey.
Yep.
I mean, he's doing all this with, you know, stitches all over his face from that fight with Chara. I mean, Trenin is rounding into the player that I think a lot of people expected him to be when they initially drafted him. And he's been a little bit of a late bloomer, but that dude is someone that is making an impact depth-wise on this team. And they did not have enough players like Jakob Trenin during the times that we were talking about where they were mentally or physically soft.
Well, 2 years ago, the physicality aspect of this team was Austin Watson. That was it.
It started and ended with Austin Watson.
And I mean, obviously, I probably wouldn't really want to mess with Matthias Ekholm. That was the thought process with teams heading into this building. And look, sometimes I think the physicality part of it gets overblown a little bit. Like, you don't want to just be fighting your way to championships all the time. But there is something to be said about not being pushed around, because I think too often during that run where you're right off the Stanley Cup final, you're into the President's Trophy year, especially in 19 and into 20 when Laviolette's tenure was coming to an end, they were getting pushed around left and right. And they couldn't do anything about it. They knew that they couldn't do anything about it, and so did everybody else. That's not the case anymore. This team, I think embrace is probably the wrong word. I think they seek it out. Like, I think they seek out physical confrontation. And that is, like, it's still to me is amazing. It's been a couple of weeks now at this point. But going to watch the Predators and the Ducks at Bridgestone Arena and thinking to myself of what that Ducks team used to look like and what they tried to do to the Predators, and watching them play a couple weeks ago and the Predators just saying, you know what, screw you, we're coming after you. That, I mean, that was not the case with this group. So it's a complete change in the way that they view the game. I think that's been really good. I think Trennan embodies that. And look, he's been an absolute horse. I think we're reminded at times he's got a lot of offensive ability to his game as well. Like, he's probably never going to be a 25-goal scorer or anything like that, but he's got enough skill to be dangerous. And when you combine the skill and the physicality that he brings to the table, that's a heck of a load to go up against if you're in opposition out there.
One thing that I've been waiting to see this Predators team do is beat a really good team. Mm-hmm. They've taken care of a lot of opponents this season where they're either equal to them or better than. And they did that in Detroit. They did that at the Islanders, and they did that at the Devils. They've beaten the Islanders and Devils both times this season. But I was really interested to see how they would fare at New York. New York is a team, being the Rangers, that is off to a fantastic start. They've been almost unbeatable on home ice. And the Predators go in there and shut them out yesterday. And they have another test like that Thursday night at home against Colorado. These are the teams, Robbie, that I want to see this Predators team not only hang with, but at times beat. And if they start doing that with regularity, then I think the fan base is going to start getting a little excited about this team, over just in the sense that not only could they make the playoffs, but if this fan base sees this team go toe-to-toe and, say, beat Colorado on Thursday, or like last night, beat the Rangers, or Sunday, go into Carolina and beat the Hurricanes, I think that's when this fan base is going to get excited and start to get hopeful that this could be more than just a playoff bubble team.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm really looking forward to this game coming up on Thursday against Colorado from that standpoint, because you're starting to think about things in different terms now. I mean, look, I'll be full disclosure, my expectations for this group coming into the season, not very high. I had them finishing seventh in the Central Division. So they're a far cry away from that right now. They've been a really pleasant surprise in my eyes as to what I viewed this team and what I thought they could be. Now, the question is, when you start to play some of these better teams, like your Colorados, like your Vegases, like your Calgarys of the world, when they're healthy, can your style translate to success in both the regular season, but in the playoffs as well? Like, I think we would all agree getting into a track meet against Colorado where you're trading chances left and right, probably not the way to play against that group. Can you frustrate them enough? And I think that's the key word. Can you frustrate teams enough with the way that you play to get in there and be effective, play your style of game? You got to force them, if you're the Predators, to play the way you want to play. And if you do that, I like your chances.
Colorado's starting to get hot, too.
They are.
They went through some early season dips, but they've won four in a row. And they were sitting on November 6th at 4-5-1, and they're now 16-7-2. So that's a 12-2-1 stretch here. And they went three straight games before yesterday scoring seven goals.
Yeah.
So they're starting to round into form like the Avalanche team that we saw last season, which was just a buzzsaw through everybody out west before they got knocked out in the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, it might be unfair to just look at that one game and say that is a litmus test, but I've been saying it all year. They've been beating the teams around them, but they haven't, they faced Edmonton, they lost. They faced Toronto, they lost. They faced Vegas, yep, they lost. They got housed in Denver,
yep,
the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So I want to see this Preds team on Thursday night, even if they don't win, even if they don't get a point, if it's like a 3-2 or 4-3 well-contested game, I think that's going to give me hope that this Preds team could be here for the long haul this season and remain in the playoff mix and probably make it at the end of the year.
Yeah, I agree. And, not going to have Gabriel Landeskog in that game. We'll see, if Johansson's available, if Matt Duchene can get back in there, mm-hmm, a game which I'm sure that he would love to be a part of.
Oh, yeah.
Taking on the Colorado Avalanche, his former team.
After getting booed mercifully?
Mercilessly?
Something like that. Words are hard.
Yes, they are. But, yeah, it doesn't sound like his injury is all that serious. hopefully can get him back in the fold there. You know, it's December, but this feels like a big game coming up on Thursday.
Doesn't it?
Really it really does. It feels like a huge game,
yeah.
And I'm excited about it.
Well, and then you've got Friday in Chicago, rivalry game. Sunday in Carolina, that's a test.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday, at home against Winnipeg, division rival game. And then next Thursday in Florida.
Yeah.
And Florida has been almost unbeatable at home. They're 14-1 on home ice this season.
I mean,
even after firing Joel Quenneville earlier in the year.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a case they've been the best team in the league.
Yeah.
So, this stretch, it's a great stretch the Predators are in right now. You've won 5 in a row. You're feeling great. We talked about that last time we were on the show. Like, you got to put together a streak
yeah.
at some point, and they've done that. Now, can you sustain yourself? This is a challenging stretch they got coming up this next week and a half. You're not going to win all of them.
Yeah.
Can you keep your head above water? That's going to be an interesting test for this group.
If they can find a way to go, what, 3-2?
Yeah.
3-1-1 would probably be best case
yeah.
through the next 5 games. But don't hand back what you just picked up in terms of points on the table. Like, don't go 1-4 in these next 5 games going into the holiday break. That's what this team has been good at doing this season, where they haven't let any sort of skid mm-hmm. linger. They've stopped the bleeding, but when they've been hot, they've been able to string together a couple of decent win streaks here, and that's why they're sitting at 17-10-1 and in second place in the division.
Well, and the great equalizer in that discussion is goaltending, and we talked about it to begin this segment. UC Saros has been awesome. David Rittich, I think, has played really well so far this year for the most part in games that he's been in. So if you're that team, I think you feel really good, especially when everybody's healthy, about your 6 on defense, and you feel really good about your goaltending right now. That can be a pretty fortunate spot to be in against these teams as you're coming up here.
You're listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Robbie Stanley joining me, Ryan Porth. For my last show of Preds Insiders here, Robbie is going to be taking over Preds Insiders starting next Monday at 6 p.m. as I move on to 670 The Score in Chicago starting on January 3rd. So a bittersweet show here as it is my last Preds Insiders after doing this for a little over 4 years. But on the other side, there's been one player that's gotten hot that I think is a great sign. We'll get to that next. Again, he's Robbie Stanley. I'm Ryan Porth, and this is Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Preds Insiders rolls right along here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth, Robbie Stanley here with you. Preds Flames tomorrow night has been postponed. Makeup date to be determined as the Flames have a COVID outbreak in their locker room. The next time the Preds are at it is Thursday night at home against the Colorado Avalanche, a game that Robbie and I think is going to be a good litmus test for this Predators team that has won 5 games in a row, including last night a 1-0 shutout victory. UC Saros making 32 saves to collect his 2nd shutout of the season, the Preds winning that game with no Matt Duchene and no Ryan Johansson. Philip Tomasino scoring the lone goal for the Preds. A nice shot that he had there in the second period, going high glove on Georgiev of the New York Rangers.
Interesting defense by the Rangers on that play too, to just not be on that side of the ice. That was quite something.
He was on. It's almost as if they were playing on Long Island again, yeah. And Tomasino was just on Long Island himself.
He was
on that goal, but he picked a corner and put it top shelf where Mama leaves the cookies.
That's right.
So
he stole a couple.
Yeah, he did.
Get out of here, Santa.
Speaking of cookies, I had way too many cookies over the weekend.
Did you?
I mean, just so many.
It's that time of year.
Oh, I've told myself that I would, between Thanksgiving and December, I would have discipline.
How's that
and
going
I
for
had
you?
No discipline this weekend.
I think everybody tells themselves that, and very rarely does that happen throughout the holiday season.
I mean, your partner in crime, Joe Rexroad, ranted about this, about himself last Monday morning, about how he told himself he was going to eat better, and then he's sitting there cooking a healthy meal, and he's just grabbing like these Halloween treats or these cookies, and he's like, what am I doing to myself? That is exactly how I felt this weekend.
And then we went into a pancake eating competition last Friday. It was all great stuff.
By the way, how was that?
It was awesome. Rexroad's performance was, I think subpar, but is probably the best way to describe it.
The Facebook Live, if anybody missed it, Robbie and Rex Road broadcasted from Pancake Pantry Friday morning, and shortly thereafter, they did the pancake eating contest. Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 was victorious as Terry Crisp announced her as the winner. But our Facebook Live video is mostly just on you and Joe.
Yeah.
And Joe is sitting there, like, dabbing syrup on top of, like, one pancake, and he takes, like, one bite of it and then just sits there. And while I'm watching this live, I'm like, Joe.
You got to eat, man.
Pick up the pace, buddy. This is a contest. This is not, like, sit back and enjoy.
I don't know that he actually finished one. I don't think that he got one done.
He did not.
Now, we only had 2 minutes, and these pancakes were huge.
Yeah.
I got 2.5 down. I don't think he got one.
You smoked them.
Yeah. I mean, it was really a pathetic performance from Rex Road.
I expected so much more.
Pathetic.
I mean, he is such a food connoisseur.
Yeah.
Talks about food all the time on the air.
And then he sucked. It was just awful.
And then he couldn't get one pancake down in 2 minutes.
I really didn't give him enough grief about this today. That's going to change tomorrow.
Expect to
be better.
So much more out of Joe Rex Road. All right. So there's been a player that's gotten hot for the Preds here
in cookies.
The last 10 days. Yeah, speaking of cookies, I don't know how you segue from cookies and food to Ellie Tolvanen, but Ellie Tolvanen suddenly has gotten hot for this Predators team. He had four games in a row with a goal before last night, and I believe the first three were on deflections, and then Friday night had a nice power play goal there against the Devils. But this is a player, Robbie, we've talked about it all season long, kind of waiting for Tolvanen to get going. He scored the first goal of the season, like, 5 seconds into the game against Seattle in October, and then largely went unheard from. And now, 4 games in a row with a goal before last night. This is a player that, if he can get hot, especially as they're dealing with Duchesne being out with an injury, Johansson in the COVID protocol, this is a player that, if he gets hot, he can help sustain this success for the Predators as they deal with some roster stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And look, we've talked about, at some point you're going to need some secondary scoring if you're the Predators to show up and manifest itself, and it's starting to do that a little bit more. Tomasino with a goal last night. Tolvanen's been on a roll as of late. It's been really important, I think, for him to just see some go in for him. I think he feels good about where his game has been. If you talk to his teammates, his line mates, the coaching staff, everybody feels pretty good about Tolvanen and the way that he's played for the most part this year. It just wasn't going in for him. You know, I think we talked about a couple of weeks ago, my concern level ranked 1 through 10. And I had it at an 8. Like, I was pretty concerned about Ellie Tolvanen. I mean, you're talking 22, 23 games where you don't score a goal at that point. That's, especially for a young player, that can be really easy and weigh on you. To his credit, he's stuck with it. He's continued to play well. He's done the right things. And now the luck's starting to change a little bit. Now, I was really glad to see the one in New Jersey go in for him, because that was one where he just rips it and it goes in. You know, up until then, it had been a redirection here or a tip off the shaft of the stick driving to the net. And all those things are good. You'll take them any way you can get them. And credit to Tolvanen for going to the areas where he needs to be to score on some of those goals. But I think we still know, like, when Tolvanen is the most dangerous, it's with that shot, and it's being able to pick your corner. It's being able to just let it fly. So I was excited to see him get one against New Jersey. He had a great play, which he ended up scoring in the Detroit game anyway. He had a great play in the Detroit game in the first period where he's breaking down one-on-one and toe-drags somebody and just destroyed the crossbar with it, and it didn't go in. And I was like, man, he is not going to be able to buy one as he moves forward here. So it was nice to see him get rewarded later in that game, but also to find one with the style that he did against New Jersey. We'll see if he can keep that up as they go forward. I thought he was really good again against New York for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was on the ice in the waning seconds of that game yesterday.
Yep.
He's the one who cleared the puck out of the defensive zone to solidify the 1-0 victory against the Rangers. That just goes to show you what John Hines thinks of him right now in his all-around game, that he trusts him to be on the ice holding a 1-0 lead on the road. That's someone that I don't think in years prior you'd be trusting to put in that situation.
No, it's really impressive to see him, and we talked about buy-in earlier. I think some of that's with him too, right? Like, he's been a guy that his entire career, he's been able to just go out there and lace it up and wind up and shoot, and he's been productive his whole career. That's not the way it is in the NHL, unless you're just elite. I mean, you got to be able to do other things when you're not scoring to contribute, and he's done that, and now the goals are starting to come around. So I think if you're a Predators fan, that's been one of the most encouraging things, outside of the wins, of course, over the last week and a half, is the way that he's played, and to see him get rewarded for some of those things that he's been doing. It's been good to see, and you know, we talked about it this morning. You know, Elie Tolvanen, even when they're not going in, he's throwing the body around like he was last night. He's going to the middle of the net, creating some havoc in front of goaltenders. Like, these are not things I thought I would see from Elie Tolvanen this time last year. So it's good to see his growth in that part of the game.
Another player that's been hot, and has been hot really since the start of the year. This is my last chance and my last show here on Preds Insiders to say Roman Josi should 1,000% be in the Norris Trophy discussion in April.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just shy of a point per game clip with 27 points in 28 games. He had a fantastic road trip. He scored in New Jersey. He scored in Detroit, had multiple multi-point games on that trip. I mean, the dude is just on fire this season, at least offensively. And I know defensively, there was a stretch there in November where I know I wanted to see more, yep. But he's been fantastic.
Is he getting better? Like, do we think he's getting better? It kind of feels like he is on some nights. Like, a couple years ago, obviously, he was awesome. You win the Norris Trophy.
Right.
It's hard to imagine playing a whole lot better than he played that year. He feels, for the most part, every bit as good so far this year.
And I'm surprised that we're saying this knowing that he's been playing with Dante Fabbro.
Yeah.
And Dante Fabbro is a player that we've had a lot of questions about, especially coming into this season. We didn't really know what to expect out of him. And the fact that he's mostly played with Dante Fabbro at even strength and could be actually getting better.
Yeah.
I think that also says a lot about how Dante Fabbro isn't bringing Josi down. I thought most of last year, you know, with the way that Ellis was playing at times, or, you know, the fact that Ellis got hurt last season and Josi was playing with different line mates on the blue line, I didn't think Josi really looked like himself for most of last season. This year, it feels like he picked up right where he left off from his Norris Trophy campaign.
He was trying to do too much last year, especially in the first part. Like, I think I remember watching him play and thinking that in the first half of the season last year of, all right, things are not going well. You know, things are cratering in around this Predators team. And we were talking about on this show, who's getting traded and like what's going to happen? Like, is John Hines on the hot seat? All these different things happening. And Josi, it kind of felt like, was trying to overcompensate for everybody out there. That's why I think what we're seeing now from the group as a whole is so important, because nobody's really being asked to be anything they're not. You're playing the role that you have and that's been carved out for you, and that allows your big money players to play really well and be free in the way they play. And we're seeing Roman Josi, I think, be the beneficiary of that. He knows that while he's still capable, and I like the way that John Hines put it on our show last week, he can see things that others can't, and he can do things that others don't do in the league. Like, that is absolutely true. I think sometimes he can go outside of himself a little bit too much, and I've not seen that much of that so far this year. He's just awesome. He's a really, really good player. He's a future Hall of Fame player if he keeps up this pace, mm-hmm. and it's been pretty incredible to watch him do his thing.
Josi for Norris.
Yeah. Seriously, like right now, if the season ended today, and I hate that discussion, but we're going to have it anyway, if it ended today, does he not have to be the front runner? Like, he's up there. I know Hedman's having a great year.
Look, the defenseman coming in on Thursday –
McCarr's pretty good.
Kale McCarr is probably the most dynamic defenseman in the league.
I agree.
And that is not – look, everybody listening to this knows how much I think of Roman Josi. He should absolutely be in the Norris Trophy discussion. Kale McCarr is in the Norris Trophy discussion as well. Kale McCarr is legit. And he does things on the ice that – defenseman just should not do.
Yeah.
He's at over a point per game pace. He has 25 points in 22 games. That'll be a fun I mean, I know they're not technically playing against each other in terms of a matchup on the ice.
Although with those two, Thursday, they might be with the way they carry the puck.
Well, that's true. That's true. Makar versus Yossi on Thursday night. That'll be a lot of fun.
It will be. Looking forward to that. But the point is, he's right there in that discussion.
Yep.
He's right there with Makar. He's right there with Hedman, with all of them. It's fun to watch that guy play. And, you know, we had this discussion about Derrick Henry while he was healthy and playing for the Titans. Hope you enjoy watching Roman Yossi play. That's something that does not happen throughout the league.
Well, and as much as we like Roman Yossi, he is getting up there in age a little bit.
Although you couldn't tell by looking at him.
No. You know, he could probably be 60 and still be on the cover of a magazine.
Yeah, great hair.
But the point is, you're not going to see this level of play from Yossi forever.
Correct.
And I think with the way he plays, he'll be a successful defenseman in this league for a long time. But at this level, like you said, sit back and appreciate this, just like we hope Titans fans do with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I mean, you're watching greatness every night, and that's what Roman Yossi is. He's a great player, a great defenseman, and, you know, he's carrying this team right now with him. There's a lot of guys that are playing well. UC Saros is playing well. Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, go up and down the list of guys that are playing well right now. But when that guy's on, Roman Yossi, it's just different. The things that he can do and the difference that he can make for this team, both defensively and offensively. Like the goal he scored against Detroit, it's just absurd. Like defensemen
I know.
Should not be able to do that.
I know. It's crazy. Well, we're reaching the end.
We are.
We are reaching the end. This is, again, if you missed it early in the show, this is my final Preds Insiders. After doing this show for a little over 4 years, I am passing the baton to Robbie Stanley. If you missed it earlier, I have accepted a new job in Chicago with Odyssey, the radio station up there with 670 The Score, becoming their assistant brand manager. So after all these years of hosting this show, this is it. So again, thank you to everyone who has listened. Everyone who has come in and been a contributor, including you, Robbie, and, you know, want to say a special shout out to my parents who listen every single Monday.
Yep.
And I always get a text from my mom at the end of every single show saying how much she enjoyed listening to the show. And she always says something nice about you too, Robbie, whenever she listens. And I think with how much my parents love listening to you when you are on with me or when they listen to the morning show, I think they're going to keep listening with you taking over Preds Insiders on Mondays at 6.
Well, I hope so. I just hope I can get the text as well. Like I'm all about the text messages. So hopefully we can make that happen and you keep that tradition going alive.
I'm sure she'll hit you up on Facebook.
Yeah, that's fine. Messenger's fine too. Whatever.
All right. Appreciate you, Robbie.
Appreciate you, buddy.
All right. For Robbie Stanley, I'm Ryan Poor. Thank you so much for listening to tonight's edition of Preds Insiders. And again, thank you all for listening over the years. It's in good hands with Robbie Stanley. You've been listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.